going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The LA Zoo's long-suffering pair of Asian elephants are free. Well, kind of.
I mean, a zoo just cannot compare in any way, shape, or form to any kind of natural environment for an elephant.
And why bother with Earth Day when so many of us, including our nation's leaders, seem to have simply given up?
Because I have grandkids, and I want the Earth to be around for them and their kids and their kids' kids and their kids' kids and kids' kids.
Good point. Welcome to a very environmentally centric version of the LA Local for Tuesday, April 22nd, 2025. It's brought to you by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. I'm your It Ain't Easy Being Green host, Jonathan Service. Thanks for joining us. On today's Local, the long and often bitter debate over the elephants living at the LA Zoo appears to be coming to a close. We have an update on one very concrete way that closing a $1 billion deficit in LA city budget will impact you, and that pun is intended. And we're celebrating Earth Day, a holiday that's feeling a little forgotten these days. But let's start with the elephants. When two of the four elephants living at the LA Zoo died over the last 2 years, the debate about the fates of the two remaining Asian elephants there, Billy and Tina, only intensified. First, there's the simple size issue. The elephant enclosure at the LA Zoo clocks in at a little under 4 acres, which is not much space at all for an animal that roams over thousands of acres in large herds in the wild. Then there's the problem of keeping elephants in any kind of enclosure when they're naturally nomadic. Today, the LA Zoo announced that Billy, aged 40, and Tina, 59 years young, will be moved to the Elephant Experience and Preserve exhibit at the Tulsa Zoo, as the LA Zoo's elephant exhibit permanently closes down. It's a huge victory for animal rights activists, so I called up Courtney Scott, elephant consultant for the group In Defense of Animals. And I started with a really basic question. What's so bad about keeping an elephant in a zoo?
Well, being the largest land mammals on Earth gives you a kind of a clue. The smallest home range of an elephant is 2,447 acres. That's the smallest. So what you're dealing with in a zoo is around 1 or even under 1% of their smallest home range. They are built to move. If they don't move, they suffer enormously, physically and mentally. Their brains are very highly evolved and complex. So they engage in behaviors that use those brains and use those muscles so that they can remain healthy. They are completely restricted and prevented from exhibiting their natural behaviors in a zoo. And just think about that, for doing that for years.
I want to focus for a second on Billy, the 40-year-old Asian elephant, one of only two elephants left in the LA Zoo enclosure. And the erratic behavior that he's often exhibited is the primary example for activists pointing out why zoos are really bad for the development, the growth, the stimulation of elephants.
For instance, foraging. What you see at the LA Zoo is the elephants trying to get out, reach out beyond their enclosure to get to the forbidden plants outside of their exhibit. Billy has been seen that doing that many times, just trying to reach as far as he can over the wall, because foraging on plants is not only nutritious for them, it's an exercise and something that is innate to their life. It's part of who they are. So you're denying them these natural behaviors in addition to not being able to roam, not being able to choose their mates.
So the pushback on this, I mean, it comes down to this issue of the value that it brings to have people view these animals up close, helps in long-term ecological preservation, fundraising, campaigns, awareness. Your response to those points are why elephants should be kept in zoos.
Yeah, well, that's the typical argument. They say they can, by keeping elephants in zoos, they're somehow helping them conserve them. They're helping conservation. The truth is, zoos do contribute very, very little to conservation in the wild. I think the total of under 7%, something like that, of profits. So that money, like, could be used, let's say, in an African preserve to fund elephants for life, you know, a whole herd of elephants for life. What they spend to expand an elephant exhibit in a zoo would fund elephant preserve in the wild forever.
We wanted to talk to someone at the LA Zoo to ask why they finally gave up the fight to keep their elephants, but they declined to make anyone available. They did provide a statement which explains, and I'm quoting here, "For the Los Angeles Zoo to consider the continuation of its elephants program, it would be necessary to bring in additional elephants. Creating a larger social herd at the LA Zoo is currently not a viable option due to the limited availability of Asian elephants. Not to mention, and this is my commentary here, that the LA city government is currently trying to close a $1 billion budget shortfall. So not necessarily the time to start adding on to the zoo." So there you have it. The end of an era at the LA Zoo. No timetable yet on Billy and Tina's move to Oklahoma. So be sure to stop by and wish them farewell while you still can. Speaking of a $1 billion deficit, LA's elected city officials got down to the task of trying to balance the budget today. On yesterday's local, I focused on how the expected layoffs and cutoffs of various city services might impact LA residents. Well, our man at City Hall, Craig Figner, found one key example that's sure to enrage LA's already frustrated drivers.
How would you rate the condition of streets in the city of Los Angeles? Streets you drive every day. Are they well paved? Are they in good condition? Do you see potholes? Well, one item in the mayor's proposed budget takes the department that manufactures asphalt for Los Angeles to repave streets. Well, their budget's right now $50 million a year, cuts it by 32% to just over $33 million. Katie Yaroslavsky is chair of the city's budget committee. She says the consequences, they'd be noticed by practically everyone.
And I think that's problematic. I know it's a tight budget year. What the department was telling us yesterday is that if these budget cuts go into effect, the grade of every street's quality across the city will go down one. There are already potholes that are taking too long to get filled. People file claims against the city when it screws up their cars for going into a pothole. This is one of those preventative things that I don't think, even with a bad budget, we want to be cutting.
The proposed budget from LA Mayor Karen Bass includes 1,600 layoffs, a number that could change, could go up, could go down. The budget committee will tweak the mayor's proposal, and then it goes to council. They'll make some more changes. They'll vote. They'll send it to the mayor. She can accept their revisions or say, I don't like it, and send it back. And the debate, which will take weeks, will start over again.
Considering that most major streets in LA already bear a striking similarity to the cratered surface of the moon, limited street repaving is an interesting sacrifice to make in the name of balancing the budget. But, you know, something's got to give here. Okay, quick break here to take care of business. And then we're back with a couple of reasons to still believe in Earth Day. It's the LA Local.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, You can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Thanks for sticking with us on the LA Local for Tuesday, April 22nd. I'm your dutiful host, Jonathan Service. If I'm being brutally honest, Earth Day in 2025 has kind of a hollow feeling to it. After all, American voters seem to reject more climate-conscious policies with the outcome of last year's presidential election. Meanwhile, we continue to set records for the hottest months. The average overall temperatures continue to climb, while climate-related extreme weather incidents are also on the rise. So, should you still believe in Earth Day? We start with what admittedly seems like a small ball element of the fight to protect the environment, and that's composting. A few years back, California started to require its cities to compost food waste. And several Southern California cities and counties put composting practices into place to make it easier for us to essentially recycle our leftovers and food scraps. But is anyone actually doing it? We set KNX News anchor Vicky Moore loose to find out.
Hey, don't throw that away. Banana peels, lettuce, we've got a new way.
Kitchen pail. What's a kitchen pail?
It's a small step, putting food scraps in a kitchen pail. You probably got one from your local sanitation department and you don't even remember. You know, the funny thing is that woman was hosting a recent Earth Day event. But a friend and I, we talked her through it.
So sorry.
You put your food scraps in it.
My trash bin, in other words?
Like, for example, let's say you peel a carrot.
Sure.
Those scraps?
It goes in the trash.
Not technically.
Oh, well, that's what happens in my household.
Hopefully we're all willing to learn.
Yeah, I'd say in general, I think people are really signing on to the idea.
James Roska is with LA City Sanitation. He says use of the green bins for food scraps and other organic waste absolutely has been increasing, but he admits it can be confusing.
Home composting and like backyard composting, which really is just like the fruits and vegetables, those kind of more plant-like materials versus a large scale composting process like we now have in the green bin, which does allow for things like the meats, the fish, the dairies, the eggshells. I think we do just need to continue educating folks on kind of like what all those little intricacies and details that go into it.
You're supposed to do it. It's the law in California. All the organic waste in the green bin goes to a composting site, and the result is nutrient-rich soil that can be used by household gardeners and farmers. If you put it in the black trash can, it goes to the landfill, and because of how it breaks down, it can lead to methane gas. Jeremy lives in South LA. He says he has this system down. He has to.
I use it regularly because my husband gets mad at me if I don't use it. So I have to use it regularly. And for anyone who's irritated by the smell, which I am, we put cinnamon in it. And it works.
I love that idea.
So that solved my problem, which is I hated the smell.
Michael Martinez is with the nonprofit LA Compost.
I think for so long, composting has kind of been in the shadows. Very niche community.
He says he thinks the funds directed to these types of composting programs is money well spent to combat climate change. And he encourages people to try it next time you're making a salad or scraping a dinner plate.
Sometimes individuals don't change until it hits home. I've seen a lot of people change their habits when they realize that a lot of the compost that we generated was donated to a local school that their grandchild went to. Or the compost giveaways were coupled with mulch and trees and native plants that they were more into than recycling their food scraps.
And that's what it really comes down to for Scott from Santa Clarita.
Why is it important, do you think, to do the composting?
Because I have grandkids. And I want the earth to be around for them and their kids and their kids' kids and their kids' kids and kids' kids.
Check out the LA San Open House Saturday, April 26th. The kids can sit inside a trash truck. You can learn more about composting, get a kitchen pail, and they even serve lunch. It's a fun time and a great place to take that first step. Vicky Moore, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
Good job, everyone!
Good job indeed. Don't let anyone tell you you can't make a difference on the environment starting right in your own kitchen. And what about making a difference in your neighborhood? Over the last couple of years, a mother and a horticulturalist, try saying that 10 times fast, has worked to transform a once neglected strip of public land along Avenue 20 in Lincoln Heights into a habitat of California native plants. For this Earth Day, Margaret Carrero talked with Marie Massa about the importance of native plants in public spaces and your own garden.
What message do you want to give to folks who are listening to this?
So even if you have your own garden, inviting a native plant into your own garden as an experiment to see if, you know, what it's like, what kind of creatures come to it. That's a great way to help nature. And if you just have an apartment, asking the landlord if you can work a part of the outside area and maybe make a little native plant garden, that could be a great way to kind of make a community for your apartment building if everybody or whoever wants to chip in helps you out. Those are all great ways to help nature and beautify your own space.
And why is it so important?
It's important because we're sharing this earth with other creatures who have been here, who have evolved with these plants for thousands, millions of years, and by humans changing the environment so drastically, all of these creatures are losing. They're losing their space, their habitat, and anything that us as humans can do to make this our space more livable for us and them is a small thing that we can do to help all the creatures that we share this planet with.
I'm very curious. I know you said you got like 30 some odd different species of native plant here. What kind of creatures do those nurture?
So I've seen lizards, spiders, bees, honeybees, and lots of different native bees already. I haven't seen a bumblebee yet, but I'm hopeful that that one will come. I've seen lots of butterflies. I've planted narrowleaf milkweed, which is our native milkweed. I'm trying to get this to be like a habitat so that monarchs can lay their eggs and that the adults can have flowers to feed from. And I've seen birds. The squirrels are living in this oak tree here, and they're always running around, and I've even seen like some little mice, and they kind of live closer to this school garden area. So I've definitely seen all sorts of animals.
That's got to bring you so much joy when you see them, because when I walked up, I could see a couple of the little lizards scurrying by.
Yeah, and the hummingbirds. You see the hummingbirds coming to the hummingbird sage and the scarlet bugler flowers. And it's just great. You just stand there. If you just stand in a spot and you just watch the flowers, you see all these creatures coming.
It's one of those things that really just brings you to the present moment too, right?
Yes, exactly. Because, you know, all that's around here, we have cars and we have the freeway and there's lots of city noise. But then if you just stand in the corridor, like on the sidewalk for a moment, you see nature. And it's right there, sharing space with us right here in the middle of a very urban location.
It's pretty magical, isn't it?
I think so, and I think that other people are really enjoying walking past the space now. It makes them happy.
Good job, Margaret. I mean, look, is the effort to reverse or even slow climate change all but hopeless? I'm not here to convince you that we're making progress. But if we all throw in the towel, well, then we will have guaranteed the worst possible outcome. Right? Thank you for joining us for today's LA Local. The LA Local is sponsored by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. You can see the inventory for all 14 dealerships at lacarguy.com. Happy Earth Day to everyone. Keep hope alive, would you? See you tomorrow.
Podcasting isn't just evolving, it's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.